Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Our radio audience and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. Crazy love. I mean, think about it. Crazy love. If you have not yet got Francis Chan's latest book, it is this revised and updated version called Crazy Love. You got to get it. I mean, it is amazing how it challenges us to go back almost like he's being used to give that Ephesus church warning, going back to your first love. We're supposed to be known by our love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see a lot of religion. You can see a lot of, you know, people, you know, building things and doing things, but it's like, where's the love, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when you think about it too, you know, of course, joining me in this segment is Steve and Pat, man. We're just so glad to be able to be here and talk about, you know, the things of God together all the time. Mm-hmm. And God himself is love.
Amen.
And somebody says, well, I just don't have a lot of time to love. You know, I'm working on that. And it's like, if God is love, I mean, think about it, and you don't have time to love, I mean, we're all challenged in this. We're all trying to live up to Pat's standard. And that's just joking. If you don't know Pat,
I think they get it.
We pray for him.
He helps us learn how to love.
Yes.
And
where would you be without me?
I mean, that duct tape thing almost did get me. Anyway, so in the Word of God, he lets us know that God himself is love. And so if you don't have time to love, you don't have time to God, right? You don't have time to be with God. And if you don't know love, you don't know God. And then he says, you can say you love God, but if you don't love your brother, he said, this statement that you just made about how you love your brother, he says it's actually a lie. This is in the Bible, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I know 81% don't pick it up.
Right.
But it actually is written in your Bible in 1 John. And so, and even Jesus said, he said, this will be our identification, the very fact by our love for each other. And so what's going to be under attack all the time?
Love.
Love.
Yeah.
You know, anything to do with love. You can do anything religious you want to, but just don't love. But love is the one that proves that you know him.
Mm.
And secondly, that you will be with him in eternity. Because if you don't love God, think about this. This is really crazy. People really think, even though I don't love God, and even though I don't love people, I did say a prayer, and I'm going to make it to heaven with love, with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's a religious lie. I mean, why would you want to be with in eternity with a God you don't even love?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, why would he want to be with you if you don't even love him?
Right.
And Jesus says, if you love me, obey me.
Right.
What does he say to do? He says, make disciples. Be a disciple and make a disciple. Follow his. Oh my goodness. I mean, you think about that. And so it makes me think about what you were saying, you know, Steve, during the break about, you know, understanding how can we grasp this God, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And reading this book is just like totally changing and just reminding, like you're saying, just the importance of love. And it's like a lot of times you look like you're saying, it's like you see how love is like so much under attack. And it's just like, okay, that's God. God is under attack.
Right.
Because he is love. And it's like you think about this. And as I was reading also, you know, just beginning Crazy Love, there's a quote by R.C. Sproul, and it says, men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance. until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure I read that about a dozen times. And I just read that over and over again. And it's like, you look at it and it's just like, you know, God reminded me of my own journey. And I had to come to the end of myself to look up. And when you kind of just sit and just gaze at God and look at God, you really understand and you begin to get that perspective of really how small we are, because you see how big and awesome God is. And it causes you to think, and it's like you look around our culture and just the world today, and it's like every conversation is me, and self, and pleasure, and entertainment. And it's just like, so then it's not really a question at all when very few thoughts are about God in those types of situations. Very few thoughts are about what is it like to have splendor and the majesty, and you're getting caught up in God.
You think about this too, and I don't want to stop your train of thought, but we're always following some God,
right?
Either big G God, whose son is Jesus Christ, or other gods. And he said, in the last day, men will be lovers of themselves, which means we obey ourselves. We make ourselves God. So when it's me, my, what we're doing is saying, we're saying, I am God.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And that's what Satan said. You know, I will lift my throne up. I feel I deserve the glory. And if we just look at it from a one viewpoint of saying, I'm going to get to acknowledging the awesomeness of God, but for now, I'm going to struggle without letting you know that really you're worshiping yourself as God.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving in pride. You're saying, I. You know, when you get to the end of your, you know, obviously not godness,
right?
You know, that's when you find out, I got to find God.
Yeah.
Because we found out all of our plans, all of our schemes, all of our ideas, all how we said it was going to be, it doesn't happen. That's when we realize that we're not God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that.
Yeah.
And that could be done through decision or life's journey.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lot easier just to avoid the journey. You just need God.
Yeah. And then think about it. So then I realized, oh my goodness, I don't want to worship myself as God.
Right.
How horrific is that?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're talking about right here is so powerful. It's like, you know what? I just get a perspective of him.
Mm-hmm.
This will just make, you know, who do I think I am?
Yeah.
That's what's right. It's just going to make you that feeling of like, who do you think you are? When you realize how big and how awesome he is, he's just like, who do you think you are?
Right. Yeah.
Even having any kind of opinion like that. But go ahead. But yeah, I just wanted to. Yeah.
And in that too, you know, God reminded me, it's just like, you got to change that perspective of just like, you know, it's actually in Ecclesiastes, and it's just like you think about this, and it's just like when you get that perspective, it changes just how you approach God, how you like.
Yes.
And then you really start to connect the dots, like, wait a second, and now I can talk to you? Like, that just totally changes it. But look at this. In Ecclesiastes 5, it says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. When you go near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Don't be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart. Don't utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. And let your words be few.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is that not powerful or what? And it's just like, we think that because that we have created some empire or our own kingdom here on earth, that we are due some type of respect or whatever, but it's just like...
Isn't that amazing?
Remember, you're on earth, and God is in heaven. And it's like, that's...
Past the Milky Ways. all the galaxies.
Yeah.
All
right.
And I remember seeing a video of just like, you know...
Man, he has lost it. He is definitely Southern.
You remember?
I remember. I have become Southern. And it's like, you think about just the bigness of God, it's just like, you can't explain him. But that's the awesomeness too, of just like, when you begin to change that perspective and just begin to continually just gaze on God and just look. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Show me Jesus. Show me the throne room. You know, remember when you look at how John encountered God in Revelation 4. God didn't say anything. He just was. Like, that's how awesome he is.
They were talking about him.
Exactly.
Holy, holy, yeah. Holy.
And that's the thing, yeah. Is like, he's that awesome. And it's just like, I'm just growing, and I want to learn more about this. But it's just like,
John just overheard a conversation about God in heaven, didn't he?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
He seems to be really important here.
Yeah, right.
He's like the creator.
Let me just get down
something.
Here on the floor.
Is
really
he
loud.
Sitting in the center of all the universe?
Yeah.
Woe is me, right? As Isaiah
yeah.
said.
Yeah. And it's just like, but that is so, that's so important, that quote, because it's just like, when you get to really understand who God is, then you realize like, oh my goodness, who am I? Like, oh wow. Like that you would bring me into your presence. And you think about it, what David says, who is man that, you know, that you think about him.
Your mind, yeah.
Yeah. That you're mindful of him. And it's just like, that in itself highlights the love of God, that he is so awesome, that he wants to know us, and that he desires even greater than our own understanding for us to know him. And it's just like, this is he's just so awesome. You know?
It makes me think of what Jesus said. He said it in Matthew chapter 6. He said, when you pray, in other words, when you talk to me, yeah. you talk to the Father, he said, in Matthew 6, I believe 7, he says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. All these words, right?
Yeah.
Do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. I mean, he's the creator of the universe. And I think, you know, when he talks about it in this book as well, and you got to get the book. It's called Crazy Love, the second edition, the revised and the updated version. Is don't pray. Just stop praying first. That's his first chapter. Stop praying. And get perspective. Mm. I mean, before you approach the awesomeness of God, get a perspective of who he is so you know who you're talking to.
Mm.
If you start talking to who you perceive as God, like a pagan does right here, mm-hmm. and just start babbling on, oh, give me a car, help my wife, you know, things Pat prays. And
right.
And sorry, Trey, son. Anyway, so but think about this, that if you don't even know who you're talking to, I mean, we talk about this often. I talk about understanding when you're in the presence of greatness, that, you know, you're in the presence of people who have done great things and people who have this respect due them. There's a time just to be silent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to give way to that person who is coming. Jesus said it. Listen, when you come into a place, don't take the most important seat, because they'll embarrass you and pull you out of that seat,
yeah, right.
and put mm-hmm. you back. You know, sit and let them call you. You know, sit in the lower seat. But when you're talking to God, getting perspective, I mean, it just really helps you. And it's not only do you have a perspective of the awesome, you know, magnitude of God, but that he's madly in love with you. Not mad, it's not a good statement, but he's deeply in love with us. He loves you.
Mm-hmm.
This God loves you so much. Your creator loves you so much that he gave his son for you. And so this encountering, getting this perspective of God, not only puts us in our place in regards to saying, who do I think I am?
Right.
Did I tell you lately that I am so sorry for what I said earlier on? And that I should not have approached you like that, and I should humble myself. And God responds to this, by the way. He responds to humility, if you don't know that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then begin to say, but he loves me, so I'm going to listen. I'm going to trust his love for me. And we get back from this break. I want to hear about this quote, this magnitude, understand the magnitude of God that you're talking about, Steve.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye
Guy. Almond milk. Let me think about this.
Really?
You know, that, you know, you drink milk for years, right? Mm-hmm. You drink milk for years, yeah, but you go buy a gallon of it back when it was cheap. Now it's like, it's expensive.
That's like much as gas.
No, it's more than gas,
actually.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's like $4 and something a gallon or something. I don't know.
Crazy, yeah.
But all of a sudden, I found out that there's actually a better product that you can drink that doesn't have as high calories, a lot of fat and milk and all that. Mm-hmm. It's good when you're a kid and you're drinking all that and getting, you know, you need that as mm-hmm. as a kid. Obviously, our brains quit growing, so we don't need it's supposed to be good for brain growth and stuff. But then I found out about almond milk. I mean, think about this. I mean, almond milk. And just, I was just blown away. Like, oh, what's this going to taste like? You know? And so I tasted it and I thought, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I was just trying to figure out, how do you get milk out of an almond?
You can drink a glass of almond milk?
Yes, I could drink a glass of almond milk. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I was more curious, like, how do you milk an almond? I'm thinking like, if you can milk a cow, I know how you can milk a cow, but why do they call it almond milk?
Yeah, Pat, tell us.
Is there some sort of like almond cow somewhere?
I don't know.
And they like almonds come out and then they just, how does an almond turn into milk?
Don't have an answer for you on that.
Well, they're not our sponsors, but I do say this.
I guess they put it in a blender and chop it up. I don't know.
I mean, we've had our share of almonds, right?
Oh yeah.
But it doesn't taste like almond milk.
No.
Every now and then it does have like a wood quality to it.
Especially as it's been sitting around a while.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But I just trying to figure out, how do you get milk from an almond? They probably should just call it almond juice or something like that. But we wouldn't put it on our cereal then.
Probably not.
Anyway, getting back to the more important topics.
Yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You're joining myself, Pat, and Steve. We're talking about Crazy Love, the new revised and updated edition of Francis Chan's book. You've got to get it. There's no way that we could do it fully justice mm-hmm. in this short period of time of talking about it, but it's love.
Yeah.
You know, God loves you. And God created you and created this universe, this huge, huge.
Very huge.
A universe.
Big.
And just to show you that, you know, maybe he did it so that you would just look back and go, once you see it, you would just go, wow, you know. Or, as Francis Chan says in his book, maybe he did it so that we would say, who do you think you are? Talking that way. And it's good to know. It's good to know, man. It's good to know who's in charge.
Yeah.
Because you may think you are mm-hmm. and live your life like you are. And as a matter of fact, I believe there was a guy named Saul who thought he had it all figured out,
yeah.
didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, the Holy Spirit's been reminding me and just showing me that, you know, and I want to read that quote again that we've talked earlier. R.C. Sproul, he said, men are never duly touched and impressed with the conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. And if you're not aware, you can look at in the book of Acts, Saul was a guy that was persecuting the church, this religious zeal, and just
coming, killing folks, prisoning folks, and all that.
In the name of God.
Right.
So he's on the road to Damascus, and you can look at this in the book of Acts, chapter 9. So he's walking, and all of a sudden, the brightness of a light, brighter than the noonday sun, comes upon him. And he has an encounter with God, and in one moment, he sees who God is.
One moment.
And he's blinded.
Right.
Can't see for 3 days.
He does change his vocabulary.
Yes.
From saying, I'm going to kill the devil.
And then he says, who are you?
Yeah.
Lord?
Lord.
And he says, I am Jesus. I'm the one you've been persecuting. And what the Holy Spirit revealed to me is, if you look at it in Acts 9:9, he says, for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And it's just like, oh yeah, he was blind to the things of the natural. He couldn't walk for himself. But imagine, what was that man thinking about for 3 days?
God.
Yes. He had a revel. I mean, you
he was
think
reviewing
about
everything he ever did. Yes. He thought was in the name of religion, that he realized he was doing it.
Yes.
To God. Stephen, that he had stoned.
Yes.
That was God
that he approved of.
He approved of that.
Yeah. I mean, look at that. Yeah. You think about that encounter. You look at Revelations 4, that encounter, the awesomeness, the glory of who Jesus is.
Right.
And then in that same revelation, who you are.
Right.
You're a sinful man.
Right.
Persecuting this awesome God.
Yeah.
And it's like you look at it and it's just like, how I don't know a more pivotal moment in one man's life that he knew his utter eternal dependency upon God and his utter frailty to rely on himself.
And you think about this too. Jesus said in Matthew 25, whatever we did to the least of these of his, mm-hmm. we did to him, yeah, to Jesus. Him. And we will be eternally judged on how we did. What's so cool is he realized what happened when he mm-hmm. did and he repented and lived the rest of his life doing good things.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead. So the encountering blinded for 3 days. What did he think about?
Yeah. And it's just like, that's always been my recently, probably this last year, what the Holy Spirit's been continually showing me is just like, a lot of times I would say, you know, show me what Paul saw. Show me what John saw. And I never really understood it. And then the Holy Spirit showed me this. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know if I want to see all of it. But it's like, you look at Paul's life. You look at how he was treated. He said he was beat. He was stoned. He was left for dead, shipwrecked, naked, poor,
robbed.
Hungry, robbed. Mm. But he was just like, you know what? I consider all these things nothing.
Worse than that, religious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know what? I consider all these things dung just for the sake of simply knowing him.
Wow.
And it's just true. Like, if we want to live the life that Paul lived, the question is, are we willing to see what Saul saw? And it's just like, I've been crying. My prayer has been like, God, I just ask for grace because I want to see that. Right. But I know in my own strength, it would kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because that's the awesomeness. Like when you truly begin to understand the splendor and the awesomeness of God, it's just like, okay, I got to change some few things. I've been approaching you the wrong way. Can we start over again?
Yeah.
And he
proves
does.
That you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's one thing in his life when he goes from Saul to Paul. He goes from the epitome of what he
wrong.
Thought was religious and right,
yeah.
that he was religious and wrong.
Yeah.
He went from religious and wrong to relationship and love.
Yeah,
and he did everything for. He's like, I want to be with you. You know, that's where I want to be. I have no problem being with you, God. Mm-hmm. I want to go with you right now. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to be here for you. But I have no problem being with you right now. And that's the way mm-hmm. our life. We understand. But why do you think about this? He's huge. You know, God doesn't. You can't make God small, but you can make your perception of God small.
Mm-hmm.
And when your fear is bigger than your perception of who God is, in other words, when your fear is bigger than your God, fear is your God. That's everything mm-hmm. you filter now, you put a seatbelt on it. You put a crash helmet on. You got a cheesy pink helmet riding your tricycle down the road. And it's like, what happened? We don't trust God for nothing.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, he's this life is like a vapor. It's a moment in time. And by the way, just so you know this Saul, this Paul that Steve's talking about, his life ended, and the reports are that when it came time for his life to end, he was brought out of imprisonment. They were going to take him and have his, they were going to decapitate him, mm-hmm. him, take his head off. He ran to the chopping block. He ran to it. That's what the reports. And more people are running from, it's like, don't you understand? He says, this is what he also says. He says, you know, if in fact that we live for this life alone. This is the only reason we're living for. In other words, whatever you get out of this life, whatever love your body, your flesh, whatever your stuff and your things get in this life, if that's all that we're living for, the people who profess to be Christians should be pitied more than anybody else. But think, we're not, it's not for this life.
Mm-hmm.
It's this life is a momentary moment for us to love him and love others and lead other people to do the same. And you talk about this quote here, you know, when you think about the majesty of God, it's defined, I'm looking at definition, you know, the impressiveness, the stateliness, the deity, the beauty, the royal power, the thunder and the lightning and the emerald rainbow and, you know, the cherubim and the seraphim, you know, holy, holy, worthy, worthy, these seven blazing torches. You just imagine just roaring before God. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't think you should do this, God. It's like, who do you think you was? What happened? Yeah. Who taught to, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
But when you find out that this God is in love with you, everything that you've ever done, I don't care how many trophies that you had on your shelf for what you did in the name of religion that was wrong, you'll be just like Paul when Paul said, you know what? You know, of the Pharisees, I'm a Pharisee. I am the great. I've done all these different things. You know, I've done all this different stuff. He said, but I consider that all poop. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. He compared all of his religious trophies, every accomplishment. I mean, by the time you're 40, I believe you had to have the word of God memorized as a Pharisee, the word that they had. But he considered that all dung, poop. You know, whatever you call what's in a diaper, right? You know what I'm saying? That's what he called it.
Right.
Think about that. How many people are bragging about poop? You know what I'm saying? It's like you have those conversations, you walk away, you're like, ew, I feel like they just religious on me. You know what I'm saying? They pooped on me. He said, I consider all dung for one thing that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering and his power. That I might know him. And that's my quest. And I just pray right there that's your quest too. That you are going to just be saying, you know what? I'm going to set my face like a flint. I just want to know you. Even if people don't want to know me because I want to know you, I don't care. I just want to know you. I'm going to spend eternity with you. I want to crank up this life and maximize it in my love for you. I want to obey you. I want to follow your teachings and I want to love you. I want to love others. And I want to lead other people to the same. Make sure you do this. If you want to find out more about that, go to vfntv.com. Also go to iabide.org. The Lord wants to abide with you and he'll empower you to do this.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness. Listen. Man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to vfntv.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can play, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to vfntv.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're working a good job. You went to school. You're married. You have a family. You have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school. I did all the right things that you're supposed to do. But yet, deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me, and I did it all, was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org. and you can meet my Father, and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. Welcome back from the break. We're getting ready to share about what's happening with what happened at the United Nations, as well as talking about how Christians are taking over the media mountain, if you will, and so much more. But, you know, the United Nations, they had the General Assembly, and interesting conversations because Abbas, the president of the Palestinians, Mahmoud Abbas, he gave an interesting speech, to say the least. When I say interesting, he's quoted as saying that basically he accused Israel, Israel, of conducting a war of genocide during the 50-day summer conflict in Gaza, which was Operation Protective Edge, and added that he will seek a UN resolution to set a dealing for Israel to pull out of Palestinian lands captured in the 1967 war. And this is, of course, being reported by Haaretz online. I mean, think about this. I mean, these are the type of accusations and lies that are thrown out that, you know, people just accept and believe just because someone says it, you know, at the UN or any, because someone, you know, starts speaking it. It's like, well, do you know what the word genocide means?
Right.
You know, let's, a simple definition, you can, you know, use it online. You can just Google it up, right? Genocide, the deliberate, and that's the operative word here, the deliberate and systematic extermination of a national, racial, political, or cultural group. That is not what Israel did or has ever done. During Protective Edge, Israel did just that. They protected their country from rockets that were being
fired on them
repeatedly, 10,000 plus since 2005, since they actually gave the Palestinians a piece of land. And, you know, sometimes I feel like we're kind of sharing the same things, you know, over and over again. And at one point, I think, well, surely, you know, we've said this enough, right? That maybe this doesn't need to be said. And then I'll be reminded, or I'll see something on the internet or hear something on television where someone is still spewing out erroneous lies that don't make sense. And so it's important to continue to keep shining the light because there's many people that want to continue to talk about darkness, lies, you know, and deception. Think about it. Israel has done nothing but been respectful to their neighbors. They actually supply them with electricity. They've given them tons, literally tons of food, fuel, concrete, so they can build and you know, their cities, and they can do what they want with that. And yet none of that gets recognized. Often that gets ignored. And what Abbas is making reference to is the many casualties that occurred, you know, during this conflict. The Palestinians have lost their lives. And really that is sad because, you know, no Palestinian should have lost their life. Because who really put them at risk was Hamas. Hamas repeatedly put them, you know, in harm's way, put rocket launchers next to them, in buildings, all over the place. And so obviously, when Israel is going to retaliate and take out the rocket launcher and the person who is setting off the rocket launcher, there's other people that are going to be hit if you put it in a schoolyard. I mean, hello. I mean, that's going to happen. And so, but to get in front of the UN and to be able to say that is ridiculous. You'll be hearing from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as he shares. And of course, he's going to defend his nation, and he has every right to do so. But it's real interesting as, you know, now the United States is in, you know, flying over ISIS in Syria and in Iraq. other nations are now getting involved. My understanding is that Great Britain has agreed to fly some planes over. You know, but it's going to be really interesting to find out what happens here in the Middle East, what is happening with Israel, to see if, you know, anyone else is kind of going to join in on this. It's really too early. It's very quiet right now. My understanding, it cost something like $2.5 billion for that 50-day campaign. I believe money, you know, well spent, whenever you're protecting your nation from people that want to destroy you. And it just encourages me all along now to do as much as we can to support Israel. This is a time now where they're, you know, doing the things that they have to do to get their country, you know, in place. We encourage you to shop in Israel, and you can do that by just shopping online today. You can invest money there and encourage people to go visit Israel. I mean, listen, Israel was safe. I remember being in Tel Aviv midnight, Steve, on the balcony, looking, you know, into the street, and I'm seeing kids, small children, playing on bikes and riding up at midnight where the parents are outside and stuff like that. I felt pretty safe there. I didn't have no issues, no concerns. And many people feel the same way. Obviously, a lot of tourists are traveling and going there. And so don't believe the hype. But, you know, I don't agree with the former mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, on much of anything, except the fact that he actually took a flight over to Israel, landed in Tel Aviv airport during a time where they said it was unsafe to fly over, showing that, hey, you can fly here. There's no issues, no problem. So interesting statement by Abbas, to say the least. But we want to make sure that, you know, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the lies, especially when they're on a stage like the General Assembly, you know, at the United Nations.
You know, I think about, John, like what you were saying, you know, a moment ago, it's like it almost appears like we're saying the same thing. But what is so powerful, and we'll make it related, you know, the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, said the only way that we're going to fight anti-Semitism is with truth. And it's just like when you continually hear, if you're not hearing the truth, you're going to hear the lies repeatedly and think that's truth until you hear the truth about Israel. And that's why we're continually saying and keeping that conversation of Israel on the forefront, because you have to have that truth. You have to have that light, like you're saying, because without both sides, you're going to think that what you are hearing is the truth. And that is so important, and why the truth is so freeing. And we got to continue just to pray for Israel and have an ear for the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget Israel. Don't forget the apple of God's eye. Stand for them, and maybe there'll be somebody who stands for you. You know, I want to talk about a university, Lee University, Charisma Magazine News. They actually just did an article entitled, "How Will Christians Use Media for God in the Future?" And it's something that we've been talking about for some time now. The seven mountains, if you will. Right. These seven mountains basically influence society. You know, just to name a couple, you have the business mountain, you have the media mountain, arts, education, family, and whoever's on top of this mountain basically, you know, affects what's happening on, you know, on this entire mountain. But it's just the few people that are on top, whoever has the leadership, if you will. And we've been praying and saying for a long time that, hey, we need Christians on top of these mountains so that they can be influencing what's happening in society. And what's encouraging is that, you know, although we're seeing now more than ever ISIS and ISIL and other terrorist groups use social media, we're seeing them use, you know, videos to share their agenda. Let me tell you something. This is nothing compared to what we're seeing, you know, the church produce and put out and the type of quality that's putting out today. I mean, when you look at the movies that have just come out just in the last year alone, and we've talked about this, you know, there's a bunch of them. Kirk Cameron's had several, Mercy Rule, Unstoppable, which, by the way, I just saw this weekend. If you haven't seen it, you can pick up that movie at the Family Christian Bookstore. Cool. I believe it's on sale. Great, great movie. But a bunch of these, what's another one?
Heaven Is For Real.
Heaven Is For Real.
Which is powerful.
Yeah. God's Not Dead. You know, and all these movies have done extremely well at the box office, which is should encourage more, you know, production of these movies.
Hollywood's trying to get it on it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I can't vouch for their movies, but they're trying.
They're trying. They're trying. Well, Lee University, get this, Lee University, they just celebrated a dedication of a very impressive communication arts building worth $10 million. This is where they're going to be educating students to learn to use media for God. Think about this. Wow. This year they have 400 students, but they want them to think in terms of future generations and what, you know, what they're going to be able to impact. I think they have a student body of 5,100 students and 600 staff, but what they're doing is preparing them. And the person that, well, he was Steve Strang, who went over there to the school to speak. He says, when I graduated with a communications degree, he says, you know, we were using typewriters. Mm. Today, what young people have available for them, just think of the last 5 years with social media and Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram. And now you have phones and technology that didn't even exist. You have more technology and a cell phone today, on a cell phone, than people have, you know, have had in their own computer. In fact, an iPhone today will cost you more money than an actual computer. When did you ever think that would happen? A brand new iPhone would cost more than a brand new computer.
It did more than my first computer, I can tell you that.
Think about it.
It's getting smaller and it's getting faster.
Yeah, so you can use this technology now to record. You can make videos. You can take pictures. It records audios great. Think about it. That one device put out so many other different companies. Who needs to buy a GPS anymore when you have an app that comes for free on your phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a whole industry that was just taken out. So to see Christians being educated in this way, seriously, and looking how we can use the media technology to share the gospel, to me, is so encouraging. I remember going years ago to Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. It was their 50-year anniversary. And, this was at least, you know, 10 years ago, maybe even close to 50, actually probably more than 15 years ago. And at that time, I saw someone share a message, and they were using interactive. They were actually using a video in the middle of their message. And I thought, man, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. And it was like this big production to be able to put this in there. That's the future. Everybody's doing that now.
Well, think about the one newspaper that we talked about before that they laid off their reporters because they had the ability to use smartphones. And they were using smartphones to be able to broadcast or to be able to capture what was going on and then using that. And it's just like, you look at the technology now and where we are with one upload of a video or a capture of a video and you hit a couple clicks on a mouse, you're able to get that to the world. Mm. And it's just like, we can advance the gospel so powerfully utilizing this for the kingdom.
Well, think about the creative concepts. You know, I refuse to believe that as believers, we can't be the most creative people on the face of this earth because God said, you know, I'm going to make them in our image, right? Well, what's the image of God? In the first 25 verses of the first chapter, we find out that he's a creator. I mean, right from the very beginning. So why not be creative just like our God? And we can have creative concept, creative ideas that communicate the gospel in relevant modern ways that catch people's attention. And my goodness, we can tell a story. Mm-hmm. We can tell a story because that's the language of our hearts. Jesus told stories. And now when you have motion pictures that move, and you tell a story, it captures people's hearts. And I'm just saying that a whole radical, you know, approach to sharing the gospel like never before. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families
by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My granddaughter took a Jesus bedtime storybook to school for her teacher to read, and her teacher said no, she couldn't read anything of a religious nature.
But yeah. Was this going to be read by the teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be an overreaction by the school administration. The difficulty is when they're reading a book and you got the teacher reading it to the class, their concern is what's called state action, meaning that now you've got the school involved in giving a religious point of view in the book. It's not simply the student reading it, it's the teacher reading it. And the courts recognized and have said that there's this crucial difference between government speech endorsing religion, which would be a teacher, which is prohibited by the Establishment Clause, and private speech, student speech, endorsing religion, which is protected by both the free speech and free exercise clause.
If you have questions about what's allowed in school, visit ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And imagine what he's going to do if we begin to be sons and daughters of God and follow the Spirit of God and honor the Spirit of God and the power of God and quit buying into something outside of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing words. I don't come to you with brochures and famous speech and all this kind of stuff. I come to you with what? Power. That's the Holy Spirit. And he said the reason why he did that is because your faith would be in me and not in God. That's why he said that. That's why there's so many people saying, I follow this one and I follow that one, because they're not preaching the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Because when the Holy Spirit is present, you realize that's God, that's not man.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about, my goodness, the media mountain and how encouraging it is to see such a major change, man, a major turn, because mm-hmm. it wasn't always like this, you know. And the first time you had a Christian movie came out, I was like, oh, okay, you know.
Right.
I like it. I like the storyline. Storyline is great, you know. But we've grown in this genre. We've grown in this technology, and I'm just really excited about the great quality films that have come out already and those that are expected to come. In fact, I believe Kirk Cameron has a new movie coming out called Saving Christmas, and it'll be out soon. In fact, in November, we'll shortly stay tuned to VFN TV, because we're going to be talking about that movie and giving you an opportunity to see a trailer about it. But it's obviously, the title says it all itself, Saving Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, my goodness, this is a time to be able to have a movie like that. But, you know, before we get, you know, go too far, I want to talk about a subject that oftentimes doesn't get talked about enough, I don't think, but that we need to practice more, especially as believers. But it's a simple little word called repentance. And something that we need to be able to have in our spiritual DNA, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Because you say that word, and sometimes people just wax over it. But I was reading in Luke, and I saw, you know, where John the Baptist, you know, I mean, he just let it rip.
Yeah, he did.
He just let it rip. And John the Baptist is giving a baptism of repentance. And we think of an altar call today, people giving their lives to God. But listen, when they were getting baptized, They were doing a baptism of repentance. Their lives were changing. They were leaving their old way of life. And this is what John the Baptist says in Luke chapter 3, verse 8. He says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. And repentance is not just saying you're sorry. It's just not, you know, feeling bad for your sin. It involves, you know, confessing. It involves acknowledging that this sin is wrong, that you've sinned against God. But it doesn't end there. It includes an absolute awareness, a change of mind and behavior that says, listen, I've sinned against God. This is bad. And I need to change. Mm-hmm. I need to stop doing what I'm doing. And this is not good. And you repent. You turn away from the things that you were doing that lead to death and bondage. And so you often hear people say, well, I repented. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? If there's no fruit in your repentance, then did you really repent? Because a lot of people feel sorry, they feel bad, they feel sorrowful, but the Bible tells us that godly sorrow causes us to repent. Mm. Just because someone's sorrowful doesn't mean that they're sorrowful that they've hurt God or that they hurt others. Maybe they're just sorrowful that they got caught.
Yeah.
Maybe they're sorrowful that they just can't keep doing the sin they were doing. Maybe they're sorrowful of the consequences that now they're going to have to face. But sorrowful because you've hurt God will lead you to a life of repentance, a life that turns around. And John continues to say in verse 9, he says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, there's an expectation of our lives that we need to produce good fruit. Mm-hmm. If we say that we're a believer, if we say that we're a Christian, if we say that we walk with God, then there should be clear evidence in our lives that point to that. It's a reasonable expectation. I mean, Jesus said himself, he says, you will know them by their fruit. He said, be careful that wolves will come among you. Wearing sheep's clothing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Looks like a sheep, but does it act like a sheep? And you can say many things, but the question is, what does the fruit tell you? And they were so gripped by this message, Pat, that they looked over to John. They said, what shall we do then? what do we do? Mm-hmm. What do we do? The axe is already at the root. What do we do? They weren't talking about a strategy of containment. You know, that's not what John was talking about. Contain your sin. Trim off the trees.
Right.
He said, no, the axe is at the root. You got to deal with this thing. Get down to the root of it. Get it out of your life. And so for the tax collectors, he said, hey, don't collect any more than you are required to. They were just taking some extra money. They were, you know, stealing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He said, stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. Right? And then of course, the soldiers came up and said, hey, what should we do?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Knock it off. Right? Don't do that stuff. And so you look at this stuff, and you're like, all these people, wow, this is amazing, right? The guy with two tunics, what should we do? Give one away to the person who doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, you know. You have 50 shoes. You can't only have, you know, can't wear all the shoes at one time, right?
Right. Give away some.
Give away one or two or 30. You know, all depends how many you have. And they were so astonished at what John said. They the Bible says in their heart they thought, maybe he's the one. They were wondering in their hearts, is he possibly the Christ? And he responded. He said, they said in their heart, but he responded to him and says, no, I'm not him. The one who comes,
mm-hmm.
he's going to baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. And that's mm-hmm. what we need. We need a baptism of Spirit and fire.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times people want the Spirit and the fire without the baptism of repentance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And listen, this is where we're at today, because we're living in a time right now that many are preaching a gospel that says you can do whatever you want, you can say whatever you want, and just because you say that you're a Christian, just because you wear a cross, just because you can quote a verse of Scripture, that makes you a Christian. And the question is, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say?
Right.
Christian means Christ-like. Christian means follower of the Lord. And one of the biggest challenges that we're facing today is making disciples, making followers of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said plainly, listen, if you're going to follow me, let me just pause here for a moment and let me tell you, you need to pick up your cross, you need to deny yourself, and then you can follow me. Go to the place of no return, pick up this cross, and then come follow me. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that you can't serve two masters. Mm-hmm. If Jesus is Lord, and he is, then serve him and him alone.
Yeah, and you look at that, and you're talking about the disciples. In John 15, he talks when he says, you know, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And that's the huge thing. It's just like, when you look at in the book of Acts, they did not call themselves Christians. They were first called Christians because people looked at their lives and says, you know, yeah, you're one of those that walk with Jesus. And that's the thing. If we have to tell others that we're a Christian, there's something wrong. They should be able to look at our life and say, you're different. You're one of those Christ followers, aren't you?
Yeah. Amazing. What does repentance look like? It looks like, you know what? Leaving a life of sin behind. Mm-hmm. It looks like being sorrowful, not just because you got caught, mm-hmm. but sorrowful for God. It looks like a change of behavior. You were going one way, but now you're going another way because you've been exposed before God and you want to do the right thing before him. We want to encourage you to search your hearts, to lay your heart open before God and ask him, is there anything in my life that I need to repent of? Anything in my life that I need to change? Because I want to live for your glory and your glory alone.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
John, you remember that? Remember that kind of like that that little video clip of that guy running during that slow mo? How did that go?
No.
Like the marathon runner, the guy was like, chick-chick-a. And it's like showed him running or something. Come on, you're from the 70s. I know because that came out right before me, and that was a popular movie.
What did you confuse it, Pat?
What movie was that? It was like Chariots of Fire or something, there was a marathon runner.
80s, by the way.
Okay, it was 80s. Okay.
All right.
But what I will tell you about Marathon, okay,
what
is that BFN Radio is available on the Marathon weekend. Steve, you know what that is? That is every weekend, the whole week's radio program are back to back to back. It's the VFN Radio Marathon.
Wow.
So throughout the weekend, you can enjoy all of the great segments, all the great insights, God's news behind the news from Monday through Friday, all on your weekend on a 24-hour loop. I encourage you stay plugged in and enjoy your weekend with the VFN Radio Marathon.